Welcome to the Been There, Done That podcast with Angela Dunn Cartledge.
Hi, everybody. This is the Been There, Done That podcast. I'm your host, Angela Dunn Cartledge, and I'm here with Braca Goetz. I can't wait to have this amazing conversation about how her story can help you learn more. Braca, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you. It's a real pleasure to be here.
Please tell our audience why you're here, who you are, and what you're bringing to the audience today.
Okay, sure. I'm the author of 43 children's books, and they're not typical children's books because every one of the books helps children to grow in gratitude, and it helps children's souls to shine. That's the purpose. And also one memoir about my life, about my journey to joy. The memoir, it's a compilation of my diary entries and then journals and letters. And you can actually see the process of me developing food addictions and then healing from them. And that's what I really want to share today with everybody. It's what I love sharing. I'll tell you that the name of my memoir is Nourish the Soul, Filling the Emptiness Within. That's what I want to share. How do we fill the emptiness within so that we don't have to be consumed by our addictions?
We try to fill the hole, right? That there's yes. always a hole. I've heard it described as a God-shaped hole, that we have a hole but we try to fill it with other things. And
yes.
I really want to dig into your journey, but also I can't wait to talk about the children's books, but I'm going to hold off. I'm going to take a breath. And let's talk about Braca for a minute, because I would love to get your perspective on your journey and what the highs and lows were, if that makes sense.
Yes, exactly. An addiction, any kind of addiction, it's like being in a prison. And they say that an addiction is the only prison where the locks are on the inside. We can get out. We have a way to get out, but we don't know how. Once we find out how we can get out, it's a tremendous joy. So I'm very grateful that I was able to find out, because when you're in an addiction, the walls get narrower and narrower. It takes over your entire life. The lowest point of my life is when I didn't really want to go on any longer because the addiction was eating up my whole life, eating up all my energy, my intelligence, everything. And that's another thing I want to bring up about intelligence, you know, because I looked successful on the outside. I was a Harvard graduate. I went on to medical school. And it was during those years that I was suffering the most. Nobody could tell from the outside how I was suffering. In fact, when I was at Harvard, I was doing like really groundbreaking research on eating disordered behavior while I was getting sicker and sicker. So, and then at medical school, I document the bizarre behaviors, because when you're in an addiction, your behavior gets more and more bizarre. You do everything in secret. So it's really hard for people to know that how you're suffering. And people can't get over in my memoir that I actually shared such personal, embarrassing things that really caused a lot of shame. But that was part of the healing process. Writing the book I was able to put all the pieces of my life together and see the thread going throughout it. In composing the book, I was able to answer the question, why? When I finally was able to nourish my hungry soul, why did I no longer need the addictions any longer? What did one thing have to do with the other? So when I came to that answer through writing the book, I actually have the epiphany at the end of writing this book. That's what I've been spending my life ever since sharing with other people so that they too can nourish their genuinely hungry souls.
I really resonate with that, in that I don't have an addiction that I know of, but I know that I have people in my life that have experienced them. And I really resonate with the idea that you're ashamed of it, right?
Yes. That you're ashamed of your, ideally,
Not just ashamed of the addiction, but also ashamed of the hole and the way that you're going about filling it, that that it morphs into its own thing. It becomes its own thing. To your point, that it's exhausting. You have to then feed this thing. This
yes.
to continue to move forward. You mentioned the suffering of your intelligence, and I want to dig into that a little bit more, because we definitely see a difference in our function when there's an addiction involved. We see that we start to think only of that thing,
right.
The other things sort of fall away. But
right.
talk to us about what that looked like for your intelligence, and what it did to your ability to function in that way.
Yeah, I was like a top student at Harvard, and then everything just started slowly going downhill. In medical school, I made it through my first year of medical school. But it was really hard to study. I couldn't focus. It was getting harder and harder because it took up so much of my brain space, the attention that an addiction requires. So it was after my first year of medical school. I actually went to Israel that summer. I had a 6-week break, and I was searching spiritually. It was really funny because toward the end of the year of medical school, I went to visit the psychiatrist who was like assigned to the help medical students. And I decided to tell the psychiatrist everything. I like spilled all the beans. I talked about all my bizarre behaviors because I really felt like I was going crazy. I said everything. And the strangest reaction he had, I want to mention that he was Japanese. I'd never met him before. And he said to me, you know, I know that you think that what you're going through, like, you're like really insane right now, but I feel like you are going to discover what you are searching for spiritually this summer. And that's really what you need. It was the strangest thing. He wasn't even in my culture whatsoever. And yet he could see that what was driving me was a spiritual need. I thought that was amazing. And he was totally on the mark. I was like, first I was astounded that he didn't think, after all the things that I disclosed, you know, that I was in terrible, terrible shape for some reason, because I felt that way. But he gave me hope. And it's true, that summer, I searched into my own heritage, which I didn't know that much about. And I found all this spirituality, which I didn't know was there. And some of the things I learned that summer, I mean, it stayed with me forever. I ended up not returning to medical school. I ended up living in Israel. And my whole life changed. And I went on a spiritual path. So my life went in a whole different direction. A few months later, I met the man who became my husband in Israel. And, you know, we started growing our family here. After 10 years, actually, we went back to America. We lived there a number of years. And now, after our children are grown and on their own, we've returned to living in Israel, my husband and I. So we're back where we first met. But yeah, it's been an amazing journey. And the main thing that I learned, and this is universal, is that it's gratitude that fills us up. And I learned about something called the pleasure ladder, which I'd love to share if I could, because it explains how we can use gratitude to fill that hole inside of all of us. We all have this hole, and it's meant to be there, and we're meant to feel that emptiness. We think we can fill it with externalities, but that only lasts it's a very temporary high that we get from that. How to continue to live a joyful life? The answer to that is gratitude.
I particularly resonate with the gratitude piece because I feel like, as you said, when you were talking about your visit with your psychiatrist in medical school, that suddenly you had hope. And to me, that is the only way through grief and trauma and hard things that we do to ourselves, but also that happen to us. The only way through is with hope, because it's the only thing that will keep your feet moving, you know?
Yeah.
So
yes.
I particularly love the idea of gratitude. Tell us about the pleasure ladder and how it changed everything for you.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Okay. So this is a chart of the pleasure ladder. But if anybody's interested, on my website, you can download a copy with the stuff I'm going to share right now filled in. But basically, there's five levels to the pleasure ladder, which corresponds to our five fingers. It's showing us that we have in our own hands, we have within our hands the power to heal, the power to bring joy into our lives. It's here. And these five levels, they also correspond to the five levels of the human soul. It's a universal thing. So the lowest level of the soul is the part that's attached to our body. This level of the soul is the part that experiences pleasure from all the natural pleasures in this world. The natural foods, being in nature, moving our bodies, that includes dancing, gardening, swimming, music, all the natural pleasures you could think of. This was designed for us to experience with gratitude. And when we experience it with gratitude, we connect to source, the source of all these natural pleasures. And my favorite example is the orange. And the orange, just, it's like, you know, all the fruit, before they are ready for us to eat, they're green. They're camouflaged in with the leaves until they're ripe and they call to us. We're ready. How do they call? They turn this bright, beautiful color. That's when we know they're ready for us. So they're a pleasure to look at. They smell beautiful. And they're individually packaged. And this one even comes with a wrapper. An orange even comes wrapped up. So the sweet juiciness stays in for months. And then, and when you eat the orange, it was designed for you. The orange you're eating was made especially for you to experience with all the loving kindness and intelligence, infinite intelligence that's packed into it. So at the end, when after you've experienced the sweet juiciness, you find the seeds, and the seeds are like eternal, like they can become infinite more trees, infinite more oranges if they're planted as they're meant to be. Even the peel, it can regenerate into the earth and be helpful to the earth. So it's amazing. This is like just one tiny gift in our world, packed with so much love for us. And that's how we, if we experience just a little tiny bit, any of the things we've been taking for granted as the gifts that they are, this is how it doesn't just become like a few seconds of experiencing the pleasure of the orange. It stays with us. The gratitude stays with us. So that's just the lowest level of pleasure. The next level up is love. Now, love doesn't seem to be empowering. It seems to be dependent on somebody else. But the ancient mystical definition of love is focusing on the virtues of another. What do you appreciate about someone else? So somebody in a prison, in solitary confinement, God forbid, could still bring love into their lives. Focusing on the virtues of, let's say, a grandmother who once did a kindness for them, and they are filled with this warm emotional feeling of gratitude and inspired to be a better person. And it could get and it could enter into the prison of addiction as well. That inspiring person, that goodness, that kindness that you can focus on. So nobody has to be present in your life right now. You can bring love into your life at any moment, focusing on the virtues of another. The middle level is meaning. It's whenever we do something good and meaningful in this world, we are uplifted. We hear about these things. We hear get exercise, spend time in nature, volunteer. But now you can understand why these things uplift us, because they are filling our soul. And our soul was designed to be nourished with these things. So when we do something good and meaningful, we do it with gratitude. See, here we're focusing on the gratitude of the natural pleasures, the gratitude, what do we appreciate about someone? And now we're giving back to the world with gratitude, gratitude that we can give. Because when we are in addiction or feeling anxious or depressed, we are self-centered. We are feeling estrangement, disconnection. This brings connection. All of these steps bring connection, because gratitude brings connection. It's that bridge. It's that gratitude to source. We are receiving, and all we have to give back is gratitude. And that the next level up, this is surprising. The level closest, next to the top highest level, is creativity. When we do something creative, we're in a zone where we don't feel like sleeping or eating. We're like, it feels like we're beyond time. We're unaware of time passing when we're in that creative zone. It's such a great high. And when we are being creative with gratitude, it takes the ego out of it completely. You don't have that writer's block or whatever, because your ego isn't enmeshed in it. You're just flowing. The energy is flowing through you. You're like a channel for the creativity, and you're like a vessel receiving the ideas and then letting it flow into the world, which is just a complete joy. And each level up, you see, we're emulating source as well, as we at a higher and higher level. So the highest level of all is called transcendence. It's unity. It's the oneness. It's the cosmic oneness. It's when we recognize that we're all connected. We're all connected to source. The same energy is flowing through all of us and throughout the universe and between us. So it's, you know, you've had that feeling like under a starry, starry sky at night when you know you're part of like such a great universe and you're just so grateful to be a part of it. That feeling, I remember experiencing that as a child and it stayed with me my whole life. You have it at many other transcendent moments of your life. The two highest levels are the rarest levels, but we have glimpses of these levels. We experience them. We spend most of our time on these lower levels, and they're all wonderful. The more that we increase our gratitude, the more we experience and practice gratitude, the more time we spend experiencing heaven on earth, really, because that's what this ladder is. So I there's only one price to pay to climb any rung on the ladder. And now you know what that price is. It's gratitude. That's it. So it's this has changed my life, and I'm loving sharing it with anyone that wants to hear about it, because it's completely transformative.
I completely hear that energy in your voice and how excited you get about talking about it. And tell us how your perspective, or what you would want us to do to teach each other gratitude, especially those of us that are parents. How can we teach each other the act of gratitude?
Yeah, parents are the most wonderful role models. When you are practicing gratitude, your children absorb it completely. It just seeps right into them. So it's, you know, we have neuroplasticity. Even if you feel awkward at first becoming more grateful, it gets easier and easier as we create these neural pathways of gratitude until we actually have gratitude brains. That's what we can develop. So, you know, at first when you travel on a road, it's very gravelly road that hasn't been traveled on before. But once you keep traveling it, you create the grooves, it gets easier and easier. And that's the neural pathways that we create every time we experience gratitude. So, you know, all day long, we have a voice in our heads trying to make us miserable. It's telling us to focus on what we're missing. Oh, you're lacking that. You don't have that. If you only had this, you'd be happy. It's doing this to all of us. We don't realize it. But once we know that, we think we're the only ones going through this. Once we understand that, we realize all of us have that voice. And that voice is given to us on purpose as well. It's like this. It's a weight. It is there to help us grow our gratitude muscles. So every time we recognize that voice is trying to make us miserable and push us down, and we push against it, that's how we grow our gratitude muscles. I wrote this in a book for children. It's called Don't Read This Book, because it's written in the voice of that voice, the voice that doesn't want us to know how to outsmart it. But I'm giving really young children the secrets that they can outsmart this voice, recognize that it's talking to us all day, because the minute you call it by its name, it loses its power. Once you do that and you say, oh no, I'm not going to focus on what I don't have. I'm going to focus on what I do have. I have so many blessings in my life right this minute. And that's one of the things that drew me to this, your podcast, because you actually said that turning your grief, turning your trauma into blessings. That's what's happened for me. And it could happen for every single person. Everything that we are given, every difficulty, every challenge is really here for us to grow from it. And it's not always easy, but we have that ability to do that. And that's how we can become more joyful people.
By actually taking those moments and being grateful along the way. And to me, it's again, excuse me, small steps. I heard somebody early on in the year, you know, when you're making all your New Year's resolutions and all that fun stuff, somebody said to have a gratitude jar, like a cookie jar. And every week you put in the thing you're the most grateful for that week. But I even think that when you're in an acute grief situation, or when you're at your low point, as yes. you were describing earlier, you need it more often than that. You need
yeah.
that. You look at the gravelly road and you think, there's no way I can't, right. I can't look at anything and think gratefully about it. And even if it is the smallest thing, I used to take moments of anxiety and start to go through things that I was grateful for. And I would just sit there and just roll with it, Braca. I would just, no matter what would come out of my mouth, I would just keep saying, I'm so thankful for aluminum foil. I'm so yeah. thankful for indoor plumbing. I'm so thankful for toilet paper. Yes. You know, like anything that would come into my head, yes. I would just continue to flow with it, because to me, gratitude brings us back to now.
Yes.
It takes us out of that. I'm looking at my past and thinking about all my mistakes. I'm looking at my future and thinking how scared I am, or how much yes. I want that. Instead yes. of thinking about those things, gratitude brings us right back to here and puts a stake in the ground and holds us to it. No matter what
yes.
tornado is happening around us, it brings us right back to here.
Yes.
So, we can be, even in the most acute and most painful moments, the lowest moments yes. of our lives, we can stop yes. and say, I am grateful for aluminum foil. And I give you permission, yeah. audience, to yeah. take aluminum foil and be thankful for it. Or yeah. or toilet paper, whatever you want to use. Yeah. I also am thankful very much for paper plates. I love to think about the small things, because yeah. we need those moments so much, even as children, as grownups, as
yes,
toward the end of our life, in the middle of our life.
Yes, yes.
I love the name of your yes. children's book. I mean, I know you have more than just this one, but don't read this book. It's like it's the most perfect thing for a kid, because the first thing they want to do. is open the book, right?
Yeah. And it's talking in the mind of that voice in our heads that knows that. They know just how to deal with us, you know? And they know just what our weak points are. It knows exactly how to talk to each person to make them feel miserable. And recognizing that, we can overcome it. It's awesome when you realize every one of us has this voice inside of us.
Even as a small child, right?
Yes, I mean,
that
yes.
We start to talk to each other. We start yes. to talk to ourselves in ways that are completely not helpful. And then yes. we grow up with those same things happening,
yes.
the same words being said
yes.
to ourselves.
Exactly. Yes. At my lowest point in life, I just focused, like you said, on a tree outside my window. It was still beautiful when everything else had turned gray. Basically, during those difficult years, everything was gray. And it was years until the colors started to come back to life, you know? And everything became vibrant again, because I just would look at that tree. There is beauty in the world. There is. I kept clinging to that tree, you know? And another thing I wanted to say is, COVID, I feel, pushed us all forward together spiritually. It was like a huge push forward, because kind of almost overnight, we lost so many things that we took for granted. You know, being able to be together with people, our health, breathing, like you said, we We lost these things, and we suddenly realize, oh my gosh, I have to be grateful for all the small things, all the big things, everything I've been taking for granted. I think it was a huge push forward, because that's where we all need to get to spiritually, being really, we were put here to be in this incredible garden, and we've got, and just to enjoy it, we've gotten so lost. And to come back to that is, well, it's a joyful journey when we do. There's another thing I want to mention. We are always going to fail. We're always going to flop. Like whatever the addiction is, or anxiety, whatever. We're going to fall back on these old ways we had of coping. It's going to happen. But, you know, you can expect that and not be so hard on yourself, because, again, that voice inside you, it's trying to tell you, oh, if you fall down, then you might as well do more bad things. You know, just keep doing, get really in the dirt once you fall down, you know, and just wallow in the mud. And the thing is that we have to say, I mean, okay, but it's not that bad. No big deal. Like, I'm giving the example. If you binge eat and you had if you ate like 250 cookies, you didn't eat 1,000 cookies. If you ate, you know, you could have had more. Whatever you did, you could have done worse. And we can always find something to be thankful for. So no matter what it is, you know, when you fall down, you say, yeah, okay, but I could have done worse things. I can still get up. Know ahead of time how that voice talks to us and tries to keep us down, so we can push it off and still be grateful no matter what, no matter what the relapse is. It doesn't have to keep us down once we inevitably fall, because we're human.
I love that concept so much, because it gives us permission not to fall down, but to get back up. It gives us permission to have that flow of grace to ourselves.
Yes.
And that grace creates the gratefulness, right?
Yes.
Because then
yes.
we can give ourselves
yes.
the ability. It really is just about acknowledging the fact that we are not perfect creatures.
Yes.
And knowing that we're going to fall down, but it's how you get back up, how you train yourself. I specifically, what gave me that aha moment when you said, have a list of things ready. Be
yes.
ready when those moments, when you fall.
Yep.
Have that list of aluminum foil and toilet paper.
Yes.
Again, I'm talking about, like you did, look out your window and find
yes.
one thing.
Right.
We're not asking you to acknowledge the entire world of joy right now. Just
yes.
find one thing that you can
exactly.
be grateful for. And then tomorrow, find a new thing. Not 25
yes.
things, one thing. And it will
yes.
it will change everything about your perspective.
Yes.
I will forever be able to remember you saying everything was gray. And then
yes.
it started to be vibrant and have color again. It is such
yes.
a perfect way to describe the low points in our lives.
Yeah.
Whether self-inflicted or not externally inflicted. We don't know that when we start, but to have that perspective, to know that we can change what we see. Oh, so powerful. So,
yeah.
so powerful. And the fact that it can happen, you know, like you have said multiple times, it's a universal problem, not just with grownups. We can start
yes.
to do this and start to think about this no matter what stage of life we're in.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's really why I write the children's books, to teach young children this wisdom as early in life as possible. We can play catch up at any point because of neuroplasticity. We can change our brains. But imagine, this is the wisdom that young children need to learn early on in life, they'll have these tools for happiness for the rest of their lives. They will understand the keys to happiness. Like, I was under the illusion, you know, fame, fortune, prestige, this is what brings happiness. And I was very blessed to actually get to the top of the mountain. Like in my memoir, I describe when I was invited to this garden party with all these famous people, the Kennedys, Rockefellers. It was like, I felt like I have hit the summit. I'm at the top of the mountain. And it was an illusion, because meeting these people face to face, they were searching as much as I was. They were still searching. They're holding the glass in their hands and looking beyond who they're talking to. They are also looking for something more to fill them up. It's not it. It's not fame and fortune and prestige. And actually, when I got to the top and I found that it was a mirage, it really was an illusion. There's nothing up there worth striving for. It did create some disillusionment. Then what is there to life? I got kind of sicker and sicker at that point, feeling like there was no purpose to life at all, until I finally found the purpose to life. And that is to live this life in gratitude. It changes totally everything. So I love being able to share this, because it on this ladder, by giving, it helps nourish my soul to help other souls shine. That's just the way it works. Yeah.
It really is. And it's the circle, right?
It's the
paying it forward kind of concept. I learned this, so I'm going to teach it to you so that you don't have to go through the lowest points. Or if you're at the lowest points, here's how I got out. Hopefully it'll help you. And then that person can teach somebody else, and it can just keep growing and blooming into the most, again, most beautiful garden. I think that's right. A great way to look at it, because we are growing it through talking to each other, through connecting.
Yes.
And that it's so important. Oh my gosh. So important. Tell us how we can work with you. You already mentioned your website a little bit, but let's talk through how we can find your books, how we can work with you, how we can find you in the world.
Oh, sure. Thank you. My children, they run my website. I'm not a business person, so they do all this. It's called Growing Impact Publications. You could find that online. And my books are there. And if people don't have money for the books, also, they can always request them in the libraries, because we want them in so many libraries in order to reach more and more children and get these messages out in the world. So that's a really easy thing to do, to get libraries, more public libraries, having the books in them, my book for adults and all the books for children. And I also do consultations, but all, you know, with people that want that help. But I recommend to people to download this, put it on your, it's a free download, and you just put the chart on your cabinet or your fridge. When you feel like overeating, you can recognize, oh, it's not that I need to be eating. I just need more pleasure. I'm looking for lasting pleasure in life. And there's so many other ways, like you were saying, to bring pleasure into your life. To overcome a bad habit, we need a greater and more lasting pleasure to sub in. Restrictions don't last for long. Diets and things like that. No, pour in the pleasure. Pour in all the abundance of ways that you can be grateful in this world. And this gives a really clear framework of a pathway, really, of how you can move forward and upward in the world. Yeah.
Yeah. And by starting small, starting with the things that are just that we take for granted. I really love that.
Yes.
Specifically, because anybody can do that in their life, in their current life. Anybody can grow from there.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for your story, for being willing to share it with us. And thank you for your amazing passion for this message. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You are so wonderful, Angela. Thank you. Thank you so much.